Our first reading is from Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. It's the story of Philip meeting the Ethiopian official on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For this life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" So he commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
The second reading is from John 15, 1-8. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples."
Thank you, Richard. Good morning. What a joy to be with you today. It's always a privilege to come across the hill to Marlborough. I came this morning from Nelson, and it was quite frosty and then very foggy. But as I was getting into Blenheim, the sun was coming out. It was sunrise, and I thought, "This is the day the Lord has made." It's beautiful. It's great. Well, I know we've got kids in, so I need your help. If you're a child, I need your help. I'd like you to count how many times I mentioned the word fruit or abide and we'll see who got the score at the end of the talk, okay? Is that all right? So fruit and abide. See how many times I call out those names. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us in Christ. We thank you that you call us to follow you. We thank you that you call us to hear your voice. We pray now as we listen to your word that, Lord, you would speak to us this morning. Give us ears to hear you, eyes to see you, and hearts to believe you. For we ask these things in your name. Amen. Now, I'm a useless gardener. In fact, I have a reputation of killing good plants. When we moved to Nelson about 5 years ago, I was given some pot plants and they've died. I cannot tell the difference between what is meant to be in the house and what's meant to be outside. I think it's supposed to be the same, but apparently not. I can't tell the difference between whether you water from the bottom or from the top. I thought water is water. So, useless gardener. So, I feel very nervous today to be in Marlborough, which is a wine-growing region, to be talking about vines and vineyards. You can tell how nervous I am. So please bear with me. I hope that I can get this right. And if I get something wrong, come and talk to me after the service. So today's reading is from John's Gospel, and it's an analogy from viticulture. And the thing about it is that Jesus, in this passage, he's talking about vine and branches, but it's part of a larger talk between chapter 13 and 17 of John's Gospel. This is what is called the upper room discourse. These are his last words, knowing that his death was imminent. And the key thing in this passage is fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. The Bible mentions the word fruit to over 200 times. And Jesus himself spoke about fruit on multiple occasions. Now, what is the purpose of a vine? To bear fruit. There is no other purpose for a vine. In fact, unlike a pine tree, where, you know, you actually grow pine trees for other purposes, you know, to build houses, for wood, there's no one cultivates vines to harvest the wood. Christians are the branches, and Jesus is a vine. To be a true follower of Christ means to bear fruit. Bearing fruit is the core of every follower of Jesus. We are called to live God's dream, that is to bring glory to his name by living a remarkably abundant, fruitful life. That's what gives us the greatest satisfaction, the greatest fulfillment, and that's what makes a difference for now and for eternity. God's amazing plan for his children is that we are flourishing and bearing fruit emotionally, spiritually, physically, in every way. Now, if you're like me, you perhaps struggle to feel like you're bearing enough fruit, don't you? I don't feel like my life is as flourishing as I would like it to be. So let's first ask the question, what kind of fruit is Jesus talking about in John 15? Now, there's so many ways of looking at this, because he actually doesn't tell us. He doesn't tell us what this fruit bearing, what is this fruit? And so if you look through scripture, you find other ways in which the word fruit is described. So the first of those is character. In Galatians 5, we read Apostle Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 9 of them. Now, that's very real and valuable, but it's not the sort of thing that you see with your eyes. You don't sort of see these things in your eyes. You know, joy, what is joy? It's finding delight in the little things. What is peace? Choosing to trust God even when we have anxieties. Our family, each year, we like doing a bit of planning. And when our kids were young, we would go through the fruits of the Spirit and ask the question, which one do you want to grow in this year? Which fruit, which part of the fruit do you want to grow in? And you would choose self-control this year. You choose kindness or goodness. And one year, I remember choosing kindness. And I think it was about July. We were around the table and we were having a conversation. And I was feeling a bit angry and not very happy about it. I think it was a game we were playing. I remember. It was a game we were playing. I do not like to lose board games. And I was losing. I was doing badly. And one of my children said to me, Dad, I thought you had chosen to grow in kindness this year. Ouch. Fruit of the Spirit, about character. It's what's happening within us. What God is doing within us is one of the ways that we can actually show the fruit of the Spirit. And then another way of looking at fruit is conduct. It's not just character, but conduct. In Colossians 1, we see Paul making this beautiful prayer where he says, I have not ceased praying for you and asking that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will that comes through spiritual wisdom, understanding. And he says, I pray this so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may bear fruit in every good work. So in that context, fruit is used to refer to good works or conduct. So fruit as character, fruit as in conduct, how we relate with one another. Each of us is given good works to do. And when we are faithful to explore the work that God has given us in the gifts he's given us, and we carry out that work for the glory of his name and for the benefit of those we serve, we bear fruit, bearing fruit in every good work. Now, sometimes when you do good work, you don't see results right then, do you? You don't always know how the work you're doing is actually bearing fruit. In fact, I don't think until we get to heaven, we will truly know the impact of our good works. So it means just keep doing what God has called you to do. Keep doing those good works and pray that God, by his grace, will enable you to bear good fruit. So that's character, that's conduct. And the third one is converts. Why do I say converts? Because I think if you read through verse, the rest of John 15, you will see in verse 16, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And in that context, this idea of going to bear fruit has idea of mission. The going and bearing fruit. Go and make disciples, Rebecca reminded us in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations. So this converts, and I don't like to separate converts and disciples. It's the same thing. It's people being converted and becoming followers of Jesus and all their lives. Fruit that will bear, that will last. And so the idea of this branch is we are a clipping vine. We are a mobile vine. We are a vine on the move. We are called to bear fruit by being making disciples, reaching other people, sharing Jesus, producing disciples who make disciples. We are called to bear fruit in that way. Acts passage that was read to us, Philip is bearing fruit as he reaches out to this Ethiopian eunuch. So fruit in terms of converts, in terms of disciples. So three aspects of fruit. Number one, character. Number two, conduct. Number three, converts. If you forget those three C's, you can think of it in terms of character, growing in our relationship with God, in our character up. Conduct, growing in our relationship with one another, learning to serve one another in. Converts, out, producing disciples, up, in and out. And I would ask you, in those aspects, up, in, and out, which one do you sense God is challenging you this morning to bear more fruit? Are you growing to be more like Jesus? Are you growing deeper in relationships and serving in the area where God has gifted you? Are you producing disciples? Are you sharing Jesus? And so, what encouragement can we draw from Jesus' words in John 15 about being fruit bearers? Three, I always think in terms of three, because anything more than three, I forget. So three words of encouragement for us. Number one is that God is the gardener. God is a gardener. Sometimes it does feel like it's on us. it's upon us. We're meant to work harder to bear fruit. But that's not the case. God is a gardener. Just like you work on the garden and trust that with the soil, the rightness of the soil, and everything you put in and the sun, fruit will be born. You don't force a plant to bear fruit. All you can do is to garden and to tend the garden. And so God is a gardener. He is the one who plants us. He is the one who grafts us. Apparently in viticulture, there's this idea of grafting the vines onto the rootstock that is disease resistant, so that that produces the fruit that has that has the quality of that stock. And so God is the one who prunes us. He is the one who tends the plant, the vine, so that it can produce fruit. He is the one who makes sure that there's good precision, perfect timing between the balance of light and shade. Fruit bearing is not something that branches do by force of will. Fruit bearing happens organically because the vine is true and the gardener is good. Fruit bearing is God's work in us. And so if you're feeling a bit like, oh, I don't know whether I'm doing enough, look to God who is the gardener, who is tending you. Maybe you're going through a season of pruning. Maybe you're going through a season when it's like in winter where you don't see anything. God is at work in you. Let's look to God who is the gardener. So God is a gardener. That's a first encouragement as we think about this idea of bearing fruit. And I wonder which area of your life today you need to be reminded that God's tending you as a branch, doing all that vine cleaning, lifting, pruning work in you. Maybe you feel discouraged and you need to remember that God is the gardener. That's the first encouragement. Another encouragement that comes, it's not as clear in this text, but it's there, is this confidence to be together as branches connected to the true vine. In a sense, Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches. So this is a picture of who we are as God's community connected to Jesus in a vineyard to bear fruit. You know, there is no such a thing as a solo Christian. We must remain connected to community to bear fruit. This is a connection between branches. These branches are all connected to the true vine. Now, we live at a time when so many people have become disillusioned with church, right? They become detached and they don't feel like they want to be a part of a community. God's desire is that we bear fruit in his vineyard where he has planted us. And so where has God planted you? Which is the community that he's planted you in? Which are the other branches you're connected with to be part of this true vine? That's where God wants you to bear fruit. Lean on him for fruitfulness. Ask him why he wants you here in this season right now. What kind of fruit he would like you to bear. So an encouragement is that God has planted you in his vineyard and he's got a purpose for you there to bear fruit. So God is a gardener. We as God's people are his community planted in his vineyard. And then thirdly, this confidence to bear fruit in his kingdom. The thrust of this passage is really about fruitfulness. The word bear fruit is used 7 times in these 8 verses. 7 times. And in verse 7 and 8, we read Jesus' words, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." Do you notice something? Jesus is linking asking and receiving with bearing fruit. And in doing so, he is revealing that we are called to pray that we would bring glory to God by bearing fruit of answered prayer. Fruit of answered prayer. Now, the prayer here, when it says, ask for whatever you wish. Now, what is it that you wish? It's not prayer for, I want a Lamborghini, or it is not prayer for just anything. It's prayer based on Jesus' words that And we know what Jesus' words are when he says, when he taught the disciples how to pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so let me ask you, what kingdom prayers are you making for fruitfulness? What are you asking of the Lord? He says, if you abide in me, ask whatever you will and it will be given to you. Often persistence is an important ingredient in bearing fruit of answered prayer. Matthew 7:7, keep on asking, keep on knocking, and keep on seeking. What are you asking for? What audacious kingdom prayers, kingdom bringing, gospel growth, audacious prayers are you making for fruitfulness? My mentor, Oscar Murillo, used to say, don't rob God of his glory by the smallness of your vision. Don't rob God of his glory by the smallness of his vision, of your vision. Ask for more. Lean in more. Pray that your friends would come to know Jesus. Pray that your life will bear fruit for God's glory. It's not okay just to settle for, okay, I will just be like this because, you know, I'm not good at this. Ask for more. Jesus calls us. If you abide in me, ask whatever you will. It will be given to you. And so it's about asking, having confidence that our lives are meant to bear fruit and God wants to be glorified through our lives bearing fruit and therefore doing that through prayer. The final sort of challenge for us, because everything seems to lean on this. This whole fruit bearing leans on this one word, which is abide. Abide or remain. What does it mean to abide? Because to bear fruit is to abide. The word abide is used 8 times in these 8 verses. So it's important. Now, the question is not whether we are abiding or not abiding. That's not the question. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. The word mansion and the word abide or remain are the same. So, and in 14:17, the Holy Spirit will abide in you. So this idea of abiding means abiding places. So all of us abide in something. The question isn't, are you abiding? The question is, what are you abiding in? All of us have a home. All of us, as John McCormack says, have a source that we're rooted in, a kind of a default setting that we go to, a kind of an emotional home. It's where we go to when we are not busy with tasks. It's where our feelings go to when we want to find solace. It's where our bodies go to when we have free time. It's where our money goes to when after we pay the bills. That's our home. The other day, I was preparing a talk, and I got distracted, and I went onto my phone, and I started looking at I like running, and so oftentimes I'm always looking. I can get distracted by other runners and sort of things that help you run faster and better and get more in shape and that sort of thing. And I got distracted, and before I knew it, for about an hour, I was busy trying to find out more fitness things, and I was busy trying to download another app that's going to help me become better because my muscles get a bit sore. Where do you go to when you go free time? Where does your mind go to? That's your home. That's what you're abiding in. So the question is not whether we are abiding, it's what are we abiding in. And it matters because whatever we abide in will determine the fruit of our lives, for good or for ill. What is your emotional home? If we are rooted in the inner life of God, that will form us and will slowly grow the fruit of God in our lives. So where are we supposed to abide? Jesus says, hearing his words and obeying. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Hearing his words and obeying. What words do you need to hear today from Jesus? Maybe you need to hear the words of Jesus. Abide in the words that you're loved. You're deeply loved and you never need to be afraid. Maybe those are the words you need to abide in, because society keeps telling you that you're not good enough, that you don't have what it takes, that you're not smart, that you're not this and you're not that. And you need to hear Jesus saying, I love you, and you don't need to be afraid. Maybe abiding in those words is what you need to hear today. It's such great news that Jesus desires us to produce fruit. But even better news is that Jesus wants to be with us. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't just want us to bear fruit. In fact, that is an outcome of our connection with him. He says, abide in me. Let my words abide in you. All that Jesus wants from us is to connect with him, because by doing that, we will bear fruit. So maybe that's what you need to hear. Maybe you need to hear today that the need to abide in the rhythms that God has structured for you. God's pattern is this idea of resting and working, resting and working. And sometimes our lives are so productive, we don't rest. We don't have time to actually sit and connect with what God is doing inside. And so maybe you need to find resting practices that restore you. What is it that restores your capacity to give and to receive love? Maybe you need to abide in that. What is it that restores you? Abide in that. Or maybe you need to abide in the thought and the idea that every moment is sacred. It's not just that you wake up in the morning and you've got your quiet time and you connect with God, and then maybe before you go to bed at night, oh, I haven't remembered to pray. Every moment is sacred, and you need to abide in the sense that in every moment, whether you're drinking coffee or whether you're making tea, whether you're in the kitchen, whether you're baking, whether you're struggling with very active kids and you can't cool the house down, every moment is sacred. And it's abiding with that sense of when you feel distracted and when you feel like perhaps you're drifting, is like a compass returning to the true north. Making your Bible think, God is here with me even in this mess. God is here with me even when I can't figure out what the next step to take. Isaiah 26 verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace, the one whose mind is stayed on you. Keeping our minds focused on Jesus. So what is it? What does abiding mean for you? Do you need to remember to abide in his love, that you're loved? Is it about your rhythms? Is it about realigning your mind to return to the true north? Is it an invitation today for you to abide in community? Maybe you haven't felt like you're connected or settled where God has placed you in the vineyard. And maybe it's a reminder today to, this is where God has called you to be. Pray for fruitfulness. Or is it abiding in the mission call, knowing that you're this creeping vine that's meant to bear fruit, making disciples? And maybe the invitation for you is to reactivate that sense of call you had. Maybe you're an evangelist and maybe you haven't seen much fruit from your evangelistic efforts. So to pray, Lord, I want to be more fruitful as I share Jesus in your mission call. Where are you being called to abide so that you can bear much fruit? Well, let's take a moment and reflect on what the Lord may be saying to us. I'll give us just about 30 seconds quietly in our hearts now to just pray and reflect on what God has been saying to you and what you might do about it. And then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the gardener. We thank you that we are connected to the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you call us to bear fruit. Thank you that you invite us to abide in you so that we can bear much fruit. Lord, I pray that today you'd help each of us to know what you're inviting us into, what abiding looks like in our lives today, this week, or in the coming days. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. If you would like to respond in any way, maybe you've never